Hello and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast. I'm your host, Ben Heckendorn.
I'm Jones.
And I'm Parker.
And we were just discussing Lord of the Rings.
Wait. What if this is the first episode someone's ever downloaded? Then it's not welcome back.
Who cares? Hey, we have 112 episodes? This is the 112th episode.
Holy crap.
I know. Well, although that's actually not that good considering we've been doing this for, 12 years, although we had that big lull when I started the show.
I mean, in the early days, we did them every 2 weeks, wasn't it?
Yeah, which is kind of ridiculous. I think once a month is more reasonable.
It seems to work. 2 weeks isn't too bad, but when people are busy, it makes it challenging, so...
Don't you just play World of Warcraft all the time?
I actually haven't played World of Warcraft in a week and 2 days now.
Oh my god! Is that because you bought a Switch, which is one of our topics?
Actually, it isn't, but I haven't been playing much of anything, but I have played that a little bit.
Okay, so yes, one of our topics is Jones bought a Switch. Previously it was, should Jones buy a Switch, but now it's past tense.
Yes. Things
also,
and the world kept spinning.
I bought and started playing the greatest video game ever made, God of War, according to reviewers. So we can talk about that.
Oh, I picked up a game. I picked up the game from a couple years back, the Mad Max game.
Oh, yeah. I noticed you were playing it on Steam.
So we can talk about that, too, if... We're like 2 years late on that one, but whatever.
Also, it's been in the news a lot, so I thought we could talk about MoviePass, the quote-unquote unlimited movie subscription service.
The now limited unlimited service?
Well,
give you unlimited power?
Not anymore.
Oh, shucks.
It's only a matter of time, but we'll get there.
And then regarding MoviePass, I know we talk about this a lot, but I think MoviePass is kind of maybe an important thing to shake up the movie industry because it needs to change. Even though, you know, Avengers just made a record opening, which really doesn't mean that much considering how much inflation there is in the tickets, you know, but yeah. So yeah, you want to start with the Switch, Jones?
What about last good score in a movie?
Oh, yes. So, I was watching Lord of the Rings on Stars, and I'm like, wow, this has a really memorable score, unlike every other movie since then. But Jones does not agree.
False.
What? I don't remember the score from Dunkirk. I mean, yeah, maybe it had a good score, but I don't remember it.
You don't remember, like, the strings during that part where they pick up the dude on the beach and they haul him on the gurney, like, trying to get him on the boat?
Can you hum the music?
Humming's not important.
Can you hum the theme to Superman?
I think I remember it. Like dun 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 whatever thing. Or like Dunkirk, it's like like with the strings, it's so fucking good, and like it just keeps like building the tension. It's like phenomenal.
So well, that's because you're a super Nolan Hans Zimmer fanboy.
But there's other great scores other than
like
Hans Zimmer.
Like what?
And we're just going to jump right into this topic now?
Yeah, I think we should.
All right.
I'm just saying, you go to the movie theater and you watch a movie and you remember the score and there's themes for the characters. They just don't do that anymore. All the scores suck. All the like Marvel movies is like... Lame.
I don't know. Like the Marvel Baby Driver had the best score of all time.
That's the soundtrack.
Yeah, big difference.
Yeah.
That's like saying Guardians of the Galaxy had the best score of all time. Yeah. No, it had a good soundtrack.
Okay, sure. They're the same thing for me.
I'll give you that, like, on the Marvel stuff. Like, their stuff, it's all, like, hopelessly generic. Like, I wouldn't be able to tell you any piece of music from any of those movies.
There's YouTube videos where they compare how similar all these movie scores are nowadays. And I guess what happens is... When they edit the movies and do it, they put in temp tracks. You know how you know everyone used to use like Requiem for a Dream.
Yes.
They put in temp tracks using existing music, and then the movies are edited to that cadence, which kind of requires the whatever music they actually compose to be along those lines. I guess that's a big thing that drives the sameness of movie music now.
That's right. I was going to say Requiem for a Dream, but technically that did come before Lord of the Rings, so
and it was used for every trailer ever.
But it was great.
Hey, do your impression of what's his name in that movie? Who's that guy who is in
Jared
the thing?
Leto?
No. Who's the guy?
Requiem for a Dream?
Yeah.
Marlon Williams?
No. Keith Richards.
Oh, no, Keith David. Keith Richards. Oh, Keith.
Damn it.
I didn't take it out for the year.
I can't believe he was in Roadhouse and he didn't really do anything.
That's a waste.
I know.
Such a beast. Other great scores.
Since Lord of the Rings.
Yes, The Fountain is awesome.
I did not see that movie.
Oh, see, that's the thing. In the DC movies, I think their scores are better than the Marvel stuff. Like, hands down.
Oh, okay, like the Wonder Woman theme. That one you can remember.
That one's awesome. The Flight song from Man of Steel is fantastic.
Although Wonder Woman's only, it's just like two bars. There, that's it.
It is badass. Well, like the Jaws theme. Look how simple
that
is.
That's a good point.
It's very iconic.
True.
Like Social Network was a really good score. Like, I think of like great scores in terms of like, yeah, are they memorable? Plus, how do they like fit into the film? Enhance it, you know.
So, like, so you're saying I should open my mind?
I don't know. I mean, Lord of the Rings. Yeah, it's a good score and everything. But I mean, there's definitely been really good scores since, in my opinion.
What do you think, Parker?
I can't remember scores, let alone characters in or actors in movies. So,
oh.
Under the Skin was really good too.
I'm like, oh, this sounds good. Okay, I guess I'm less critical about stuff like that. I guess I think that's more important is silence in movies. Like Dunkirk.
Silence is good.
I think it's golden. Even
the Isle of Dogs had a lot of good moments like that.
Oh, did you see? You saw that?
Yeah, I saw that a couple weeks ago when it came out.
Was it good?
It's the most Wes Anderson film of all time.
How's that even possible?
He's got it distilled down to a science.
All right.
Speaking of the absence of sound, have you seen The Quiet Place?
Oh, is that out now?
I have not. Yeah, it's been out for like 2 weeks.
Oh, I have to go see it.
I have not seen Jim Halpert, Alien Fighter, or whatever it is. Have you seen it?
I have not, but I am curious about it just because of, you know, the fact that, you know, it's lacking sound. Like, the concept behind it sounds interesting.
Yeah, I wonder what it's like watching that movie and, like, everyone in the theater's like going, their popcorn.
I was reading comments online where people said they were very self-conscious about, like, opening, you know, like a bag of Twizzlers or something. Like, they actually stopped opening things because it was, like, so quiet in the theater. Like, nobody was making a sound.
I don't really like horror movies because I assume that's what it is. But I love the idea of a movie that I assume is mostly probably hardly any dialogue.
Yes. Yeah, that's what makes me interested. I have a tough time with horror movies like forever. Dale's been saying, oh, you gotta watch Conjuring 2 and all that, so I finally bit the bullet like last week and watched that one night, but geez, I shit you not, I had to go and plug in the light and turn it on while I was watching it.
You wimp.
I'm such a pussy when it comes to like horror movies and stuff like that.
You're such a pussy buster.
And that movie is great, though. It is really good.
I did see that Amazon already greenlit a second season of Jim Halpert Terrorist Fighter, even though the first one's not out yet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he'll get to write his own check for a little while here.
Yeah. On another... I guess you just gotta grow a beard just like Captain America. That's
all it takes.
Way to go. Yeah.
Well, I know you probably hate this score, but it's one that pretty much everybody knows is Inception's score. I don't know.
Hey, people remember it.
They do.
Yeah.
Very distinctful. I mean, you know what movie it's from when you hear it. It was pretty cool. There's like on Netflix, which anybody who likes film scores, I would recommend it to them. There's Hans Zimmer Live in Prague. And so he does like a little over 2 hours long, I think. And it's a whole bunch of music from, you know, stuff he's scored over the years. And it's pretty neat because there's parts like in that, like when they get to the Inception part, they just do that brawl thing at the beginning. And it's like, oh, they're going to do Inception music now. Like right away, you just know. You know, what's coming next. And but he's got like Gladiator, you know, is in there, like Pirates of the Caribbean, Sherlock Holmes, like
he did Lion King as well, didn't he?
Yeah, that's the one that he won an Oscar for. Like that's the only Oscar he's won was for that movie.
So what dim bulb at Disney is like, let's take out Scar's song and add a Beyonce song to the live action remake.
Somebody who doesn't appreciate Jeremy Irons.
Yeah, yeah. You know what's interesting? If you listen to that song, because we tried this at work on YouTube, there's actually a point where I think Jeremy Irons had a cold or something.
Okay.
So it's finished by Jim Cummings, who was one of the hyenas as well. And
oh,
he's basically.
I think I read about this online. Yeah.
I think it's like the last verse or the last chorus. So if you listen to it and if you're listening for it, you can tell. So basically, I mean, Jim Cummings, well, he's like a veteran voice actor. He does an excellent Jeremy Irons impression.
Pretty impressive because Irons has a pretty distinctive voice. So
yeah. So my theory is that maybe there was, you know, all the Nazi imagery in that song. Maybe that was that triggered them or something.
Could be.
Because if you go, it's pretty overt. I mean, it's quite overt.
I haven't watched that.
I mean, it's
ages.
Basically, it looks like that was directed by what's her face?
Lenny Riefenstahl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, you understand what's going on.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, that was the same thing happened in Germany. It's like, hey, our marks are worthless. Let's start a war so we can get some food. But it didn't turn out so great.
Yep. Didn't work out very well.
Reprint the currency with all the zeros at the end chopped off. the hyena is like, yeah, man, our currency is hyperinflated because of the treaty. That didn't happen. Sorry.
That didn't sound like something Scar would be all about, but, you know, he had his shit
what?
Going on.
Stopping hyperinflation?
There's some subtext in Lion King.
So Mufasa imposed, what do they call it, reparations against the elephant graveyard after some past war. And basically, Scar has to send all his minerals to the Pride Lands.
See, this is why George Lucas, you know, delved into, you know, trade deals and
trade
stuff
wars.
In Phantom Menace. Because he's like,
yeah!
He watched Lion King and he's just like, you know, they just didn't go far enough with this. There's another story here.
it's interesting that you bring that up because, oh God, here's a rabbit hole. But like, you look at like all the stuff in the new Star Wars movies that don't make any sense, like the First Order and all that. And George Lucas based his stories off of things that happened in history.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And the new movies are just throwing shit at the wall.
True, yeah.
That's all I've got.
Like the whole casino scene where, warmongers, rich people, evil.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, specifically, I mean like how empires formed and how the democracy dies and things like that.
Yeah.
You mean with thunderous applause?
Right.
Yeah, I mean that was a more poignant line than anything in the new movies.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's. I don't think we need to talk about Star Wars anymore. We'll wait until next month's episode where we talk about Han Solo, because Jones, I mean, I'm totally ready to go to that. So let me know.
Speaking of that, there was a new video that came out for the Solo movie.
Yeah, have you noticed that all the stuff for that, it's basically like a 1 or 2 second shot of just somebody saying something brief, and then it's like, oh, here's a bunch of like special effects and like ships flying around and shit. Like, they're staying the hell away from like dialogue big time in the trailers.
Yeah, I saw a TV spot for it, and it's all the other characters saying things, and then the Han Solo guy says, "I'm in."
Yep.
The Han Solo guy says, "I'm in."
Maybe all the rumors about him not being very good or true. I guess we'll find out soon.
Yeah. But yeah, so I was thinking what we could do is as soon as that movie comes out, we could have our next episode, you know, even if it's like a bit early.
Yeah, because that's what, the 25th or something that comes out?
Memorial weekend?
Yeah, whenever that is. Something like that.
So yeah, I guess I just need to open my eyes, or rather my ears, to these scores, although pretty much every example you gave me was Hans Zimmer.
Well, most of his stuff is awesome, but there's like you can go with Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross as well. So you've got Social Network, Gone Girl, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo were all really good. Alexander Desplat had some good stuff, like some of his later Harry Potter stuff was good. I mean, I wouldn't call it like amazing, but
Didn't he just win for the fish movie?
He won a couple of years ago for god dang it, I can't remember the name of it. It's the Wes Anderson with Ray Fiennes and the hotel.
The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yeah, and that was a good score. He did Imitation Game, which most of that score wasn't very memorable, but its like main theme is really good.
That movie needed more computers in it.
Well, it tried.
It should have just been like all computers.
Maybe next time.
But doesn't he die in it?
Yes. That hasn't stopped them before.
Oh, it could be Alan Turing Begins.
Yes. Why not?
Alan Turing, a Star Wars story. And it'll be like this really shitty actor. And they're like, so, do you want to help us build a computer to stop the Nazis? I'm in. So, Jones, I can't believe you bought a Switch.
I did. Part of my motivation was that I had an old Xbox One that was the pre-HDR version. And so that was sitting around, and apparently GameStop was still giving like $140 for those. So I'm like, I can get a Switch for basically half price then. So I took it over there, and the copy of Grand Theft Auto 5 that I haven't played in like 3 or 4 years, and traded them in and got a Switch. And I got Zelda, like everybody else. Like, basically, Zelda for that is like GoldenEye for the N64, I guess. So
I think they actually sold more copies of Zelda than they did Switch at the start, because people were buying it and then buying an extra copy, like the collector's edition.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Somehow.
That seemed silly, but...
Or the Switch was out of stock, but they could get the game, so they were buying the game even though they didn't have a console for it yet. So have you played it?
I have.
Is it the greatest game ever?
I don't know about that, but it's pretty cool. It's kind of neat because it doesn't like hold your hand at all. It's just kind of like you get dropped in, and you run around. It's like, oh, here's something shiny over here. I can go pick it up, and you start to figure out, you know, finding weapons or finding food to give you health. And the only thing you really have at the beginning is there's like a guy you run into, and he says he'll give you this paraglider thing if you do these 4 things or whatever. So it's like once you do the 4 things and get the paraglider, you're pretty much left to your own devices to figure out what you want to do from there, and it's kind of interesting in that respect, because there's nothing there really telling you, like, here's the next thing to do, so you just kind of explore. Yeah, I mean, basically, once you do the paraglider thing, like, the next quest you get is, like, kill Ganon, pretty much.
And I've heard that you can go right to Ganon and fight him if you wish.
That's what I've heard, too. Yeah, like, there's people that have done speed runs and stuff, and... but yeah, it's, to me, the thing that's most impressive about the game is, like, how massive the world is. Like, because I got the paraglider and I went over into this next zone to the east, and it was, like, around, I don't know, close to 10 one night, and I was supposed to get to this village or whatever. And so I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll go do that and I'll stop there for the night. I glide into the zone, I'm like running along for what feels like minutes, and I'm like, I gotta be getting close. So I look at the map, and I'm like, holy shit, it's like still like way the hell over there. So I just keep going, then eventually I see like one of these tower things you can go to, which if you climb it and unlock it, it basically gives you the whole map of the zone. So I basically changed my objective to be that thing. And it still took me a while to get there, and I think it was around probably 10-20 or so when I'm just like, all right, I'm done for the night now. And I was still like a good ways away from this village, and this is still just like one more zone, so it's like just the massive amount of like area you have to traverse and explore, and it is pretty impressive. And it has, like, day-night stuff, which is pretty cool. I want to say there's rain can happen in it, too, which is kind of fun. So, yeah, it seems pretty good. I've mainly played it, like, handheld, which was the reason I got it. I did hook it up to my TV, and it looked better than I imagined it would. So, pretty cool. The only downside I've had to it, and this is just like a personal thing for me, is I've noticed sometimes when I'm playing it handheld, I'll start to get a little bit of my motion sickness shit kicking in with it. So
that's probably because you're looking at a fixed point in space near your head.
Yeah, so I have to kind of be cognizant of that. But one thing I like with it that I didn't really realize was a thing until I started playing Zelda. But like you'll get like bows and arrows you can use, and so you hold like left trigger or whatever to like kind of pull back and get ready or whatever. And then as you want to zero in on whatever you're targeting, you actually move the switch in space, and you can do like kind of the detailed targeting just by moving the switch itself. So I thought that was pretty cool,
yeah.
Actually.
I think there were some PSP games that did that, or maybe it was a PS Vita.
So okay. I turned that thing off immediately.
Oh, really? I thought that was pretty awesome, actually.
I could not stand that.
Huh. It just takes a little getting used to, for me anyway, but I was having a hard time like aiming really well, like just using the traditional approach, but being able to like augment it with that was really nice, I thought. So, but it's cool they let you shut it off if you want. So,
would you have to aim using the right analog stick?
Yes, I believe so.
Right analog stick is kind of in a funky position.
Mm-hmm. Because
it's like below the buttons instead of like southwest of the buttons.
Yeah, the problem I would keep running into is I would end up like shifting. Like, I'd go to move that, and I'd end up, like, shifting the thing anyway, and maybe that's why Parker turned it off, was because, like, when he would do that, he'd move the switch a little, and so having the ability to change targeting by moving the thing itself was messing him up, maybe.
I was using the Pro Controller, which has the motion built in, too.
Okay.
And so you'd be aiming, and let's say I'll, like, just shift my hands a bit, it would affect the aim, and I'm like, fuck that.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have that, so...
It does work pretty well when you're in, like, mobile mode, I guess you can call it.
Yeah, that's what I've been playing it in, so...
Yeah, it does work well for that.
But, I don't know, it's pretty cool. It's pretty solidly built and everything, too, it seems like, so...
You can take it apart with screws. You know, it's not glued together.
Yeah. Not that I'm going to do that, but, you know... It's nice that you could. I was kind of surprised, although like part of the reason I bought this system was to just kind of not have to deal with online shit, so it doesn't bug me that much. But I was impressed by just how inadequate like Nintendo's online offering continues to be, like when compared to Sony and Microsoft.
That's a good point, because you can be impressed in a negative way. So yes,
and so for me, like that wasn't anything I wanted with this anyway. It was actually a selling point that it wasn't hooked into everything in the world. So
are you gonna buy any more Switch games? Oh, also, I have to ask, did you taste the cartridge?
I did not. Should I do it now?
Yes, we want a live reaction. This is gonna be great, right, Parker?
Yeah, sure.
All right, you guys like ramble or something while I get this thing.
Alright, you know what's funny is I only bought one game for the Switch right now as well. I only have Zelda.
When did you get yours?
Launch day.
Right.
I'm looking forward to a game called Octopath Traveler that comes out in July. I'm going to buy that.
Oh yeah, I think you talked about that in the previous podcast.
Yeah.
I hear there's a cool Sonic game for it.
Cool and Sonic game in the same sentence? What?
Listen, you millennial. Sonic used to be cool.
Yeah.
Sonic was the badass.
When he was 2D only.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm supposed to taste the side with the contacts on it?
No. Just any area of the plastic.
Just any part of it. Okay. All right. Here we go. Yeah. It wasn't that bad, actually.
Oh.
It's not pleasant, but it's not as terrible as I was expecting. It's kind of like that crap that if you bite your nails like I do, there's this crap you can buy that you put on your nails and it's supposed to make them bitter tasting.
Yeah, I think they mix it with the plastic so kids won't, you know, ingest it.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it was kind of, it's definitely something I could see a kid being like, oh yeah, that doesn't taste worth a shit. I'm not going to do that anymore. Although they also eat Tide Pods.
Yeah,
who knows?
I'll say they eat Tide Pods.
See, now if they coated Tide Pods with that same taste, then people wouldn't eat.
Yeah, then they might be on to something.
Well,
one other little thing I liked with the Switch that's kind of cool was, let me see, what's this thing called? There's like, they have these channels for different games, which are kind of a neat idea. And so you can go into the channel and like whatever here, go into the Zelda one, and there's a bunch of little articles that give like tips and stuff for the game. And I thought that was kind of a neat little thing to have in there. It's kind of like an in-system helper or whatever. Like when I play WoW, I go to WoWhead all the time, which is a site that's got tons of info. So it's kind of like having that for whatever games you've happened to buy.
Oh,
right,
okay.
On the system. So,
you happy with your Switch purchase?
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. So it's something I would not have thought I would have said like a year ago.
Have you played it with three of your friends on the rooftop of your New York pad?
I have not.
Ah, so the commercial's fake.
Isn't that, like, where I'm supposed to go and buy this, like, ARMS game or whatever and then play it with all my friends?
ARMS game. Because if there's one thing 40-year-old men do, it's all get together and play video games all the time.
We just do it online now.
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah. So do you think I should buy a Switch?
I don't know, maybe. I mean, you travel quite a bit.
Well, I'm hoping to not do that anymore.
Oh, well.
I would say only if you like the games that are coming out on it.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, Zelda's, you know, the main one. There's a couple of these, like, RPG ones that look interesting.
What was the last Zelda game you played before this?
Oh, God, what was it? I tried playing, was it Wind Waker? Was that the one? I never played Macarena of Time.
The Wind Waker on the GameCube.
No, I don't think I played that one either. I think it was... Was there a Zelda on N64 before Macarena?
There was Macarena of Time and Majora's Mask.
Did you say yeah. Macarena?
Yeah.
That's what we called it back in the day, Macarena of Time.
Yep. Yeah, I didn't play either of those. Maybe I played Wind Waker.
Wind Waker was the cel-shaded one where he was, like, short.
There was a sailboat.
And there was, like, water.
I just know on a couple of occasions I tried, like, 3D, you know, Zeldas or whatever and didn't really care for them. But, like, A Link to the Past is one of my favorite games, like, ever. From back in Super Nintendo times.
That's good. So,
yeah, so this is the first one. It's the most I've played a Zelda game since A Link to the Past. I would say that that's a fair statement.
This website did the math, and they figured out that a Zelda cartridge from the 80s, the battery will probably save data until like 2060.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So, yeah, look, all the data will still be there.
Yeah, it's pretty decent, and it works pretty well, like, just sitting in the chair and, you know, like, you don't really get fatigued, like, sitting there playing it or whatever, like...
You could, like, play it laying down or in bed or something.
Yeah, I would think so.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's not bad.
And you mostly play it in portable mode?
Yeah, I basically played it for maybe an hour, like hooked to the TV one day just to try it out.
Right.
Yeah, otherwise it's been all portable mode.
Exactly. I think opposite of me. I played like 1 hour in portable mode, and then it's just been sitting in the dock the entire time.
I've heard from other people that that's pretty much what happens. Like the portable mode seems to be almost like an afterthought.
Hmm.
Or not an afterthought, but... Yeah. Is not utilized.
One thing I thought was kind of neat with this too was, like once I got it, I might have been in the box even, but there was stuff about, you know, accessories you can buy, and it was like, oh, you can get an additional dock. Not that I need one, but I was thinking, you know, like, oh, that's kind of a neat idea. You know, if you're like got a house and kids, whatever, and you got like a couple of rooms in the house, you might want to play it. You know, you just have like docks in each room, and then you just come along and plug the thing in and play it on whatever TV without having to tote, you know, the dock around from room to room.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, I guess, you know, your iPod docks and stuff back a few years back.
Oh, yeah, back in the day.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy to be like, oh, yeah, back in the day, you'd have these docks that you plugged your iPod in, but that was, I suppose...
Like, and then the kids today would be like, what's an iPod? Do they even sell iPods anymore?
I think they do, actually. Hey, just you wait, man. Surface phone. Coming.
You think so?
It's gonna happen. It's not gonna necessarily be a phone, but I don't know. There's a hell of a lot of indicators that such a thing's coming.
Huh.
Microsoft's been filing for a shitload of patents. It kind of looks like it's gonna be more like a foldable device. It'll run Windows 10.
Real Windows 10?
Yep.
It will be x86?
No, real Windows 10.
That'd be pretty cool. I mean, if it was a phone, that's a phone, and then you could put it into a dock and it became a computer.
Yep.
That would be neat. That's the kind of thing they need to do.
Yeah, because they got close to that because they did like the Continuum stuff with Windows Phone, but it wasn't full Windows 10. So.
Right.
But, yeah. I mean, that's what they've said. You know, like the CEOs basically said, like, if they're going to get back into this market, they have to do something that's, you know, significantly different. Kind of create a new market almost. And like I've said forever, like, I mean, the consumer space is pretty much lost, but I think there's still a big opportunity for them in the enterprise. And that's always been where Microsoft's bread and butter's been anyway. So. If you could have like devices like this that are managed through Active Directory and group policy and all that, it'd be a dream for the enterprise compared to like iPhones and Android devices floating around. We'll see. I'm sure it won't be cheap based on the stuff I've read about it. So,
or the prices of surfaces right now.
Microsoft, it says Microsoft would likely fail in a fair fight with Apple with conventional phones or tablets. I love how they still pretend Apple is like the king of phones. How cute.
Yeah, I don't get that. It's like, look at the numbers. It's like, yeah, they've got a nice slice, but compared to Android.
Not really. I mean, it's like pretty 70-30 now. I mean, they got their clock cleaned.
Well, 30 is still a nice chunk of a market like that. So.
Well, yeah, it's better than, you know what,
the 1% or whatever Microsoft has. So.
Is it even 1% now?
Might not be anymore.
So, yeah, you want to talk about some video games now that we talked about the Switch?
Sure.
So, God of War is the greatest video game ever made, the internet told me. So I decided to buy it, the new one. I don't know why they couldn't just call it God of War something, but it's just called God of War.
Well, that's just the new thing of just rebooting a title without actually rebooting the content.
Yeah, why can't they have the creativity that Hollywood does of removing or adding the letter the or the word?
Or putting colon and then like some ridiculously long title after it.
Yeah, it could be God of War.
Son
now
of Kratos.
Yeah! It could be son of Yeah, yeah. Or the new Terminator that will probably suck is called Terminator.
Yeah, without the.
That movie's going to suck. See, I think all these people, they don't realize how good they had it with Terminator 3. Oh, but this is the real Terminator 3, you know?
Or shit.
Yeah, even though, you know, Sarah Connor is going to look old as hell, but this is the true Terminator 3.
Ugh. Yeah. I see Cameron's involved in some capacity, because I guess the rights will finally shift back to him next year, right?
Yeah, that's what this new movie is for.
Yeah.
So by the time it's released, it, it's his movie, basically. Because by the time it comes out, the rights will be his again.
Yeah, the rights to Terminator come back to him, and a Terminator movie under that umbrella will be made before his next freaking Avatar movie ever shows up in theaters.
When is that supposed to come out? Like 2019 or 21?
It might be 2019 now. I'll look here.
Avatar 2 release date.
Avatar 2.
December 2020.
Who cares?
2020, Jesus Christ.
That's according to Siri knowledge, whatever the hell that is. What the fuck is that? I've never seen that before, Siri knowledge.
Wikipedia says December 18th, 2020.
Yep, it's still 2.5 years away.
Is it already done? Like, they already finish it?
They're, like, filming three of them, like, all together.
Well, they're pointing sensors at actors covered with ping pong balls. I wouldn't know. I don't think I use the word filming.
True. Ugh.
So yeah, God of War. It's not a reboot. I thought it was, but it's not. So apparently, after killing every god in ancient Greece, Kratos goes to Norway or something?
What did he do? Is find out that there's some gods he hadn't killed yet, so
now I guess he's fighting the Norse gods.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and so he has a kid, and the kid is like your sidekick. I guess that makes it like The Last of Us, although I've never played that game. Maybe that's a Sony thing. Seems like Sony really likes to make games with like two characters running around talking.
That's right. There were parts in God of War somewhere in there where Kratos did like get to like shag somebody, right?
Oh, he banged like a couple of times.
So yeah, that explains that he's got a kid floating around.
No, I think he found a new wife in the frozen north.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But she's dead, of course, because you know
he just fucked her. Of course.
I don't think they say why she died.
I'd hope he did. Well, I guess he could have. Yeah, well. The time of conception, he certainly didn't. But
I mean, you can use the Force to death.
That's true.
I mean, that's a thing now.
Or Luke. Yes.
So it's kind of like a fixed camera behind your shoulder, so it's basically like Gears of War with an axe. That's okay. Kind of how it plays. So it's not like the wide camera angles like the other titles had.
With a sweeping camera when you walked around stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I probably played it like 3 or 4 hours, and I mean, it's all right, but I don't quite understand why it's the greatest game ever yet. Maybe I just need to. Well, again, I haven't played the whole thing.
I still remember, like, there's certain game experiences, you know, you always remember. And I remember playing God of War 3, like, at first, because it has that ridiculously epic beginning to it.
Yes.
Where you're climbing up the back of that Titan that's climbing like a mountain or whatever the hell it's doing. And
then
just,
you fight the Titan.
Yeah, it's just so badass.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I really haven't gotten that sense of this one. Yeah, because like there were like even in the first one, you know, like when you're fighting the Hydra and it pops up, and then you climb up the Titan to go into that that castle that's on the back of the Titan. It was just incredibly epic.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really haven't felt that with the new one yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. So. Yeah. Oh, Kratos is definitely—he's definitely like an 1800s father, you know. Like he's always saying, "You must do better, boy," and he's kind of
mean. You disappoint me.
Yeah, kind of. But then, you know, there's this witch, and she's like, "Does he know you're a god?" And he's like, "Meh." And then I think they make the statements like, you know, these gods won't like other gods coming in, so I assume at some point I'm going to have to start, you know, fighting like Odin and whatnot.
And I would imagine. Thor.
Yeah, which begs the question, like, you know, why does Jesus get a pass?
Well, maybe that'll come in the next reboot.
Well, I mean, I guess there's only like there's Jesus and then there's God and that's it.
Yeah, like so, Allah, you could get him in there at some point, I guess, too.
Isn't Allah the same as that's just God?
Yeah, I guess.
Right.
So
are you saying that
fight all the saints?
Kratos needs to be an equal opportunity god killer?
Seems like it. You know, it's like,
but I don't know, if he was in ancient Greece, would there have even been anything in Norway? I mean, would civilization have gone that far back then? Like, I don't know, 1000 BC? When was Greece in its prime? Actually, probably wasn't that far back.
I don't know. When did 300 happen?
Oh. Let's see.
I mean, that was like a real thing, you know, supposedly.
Let's see. When was Greece the shit?
Ancient Greece. Release
Classical
date.
Greece, probably.
When was Greece the tits?
Well, it looks like the Greece was the shit probably like around 750 to 500 BC.
Sounds about right.
Right, so what would be in the, you know, the Nordic lands? Would there be people up there yet?
Let's see. Norse mythology, blah, 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 blah.
No, I'm not talking about mythology. I'm talking about, you know, reality.
Okay, Norse reality.
Yeah, just type that in.
Let's see what Google tells us.
Well, I guess I'm just saying, like, if you think of, like, the Nordic period, you think of, like, the Vikings and everything, and that's more like 800 AD.
Yep. So let's see.
So what would have been there? You know, I highly doubt there would have been... If there was civilization there, it would not be nearly as advanced as what was in, like, you know, Greece or Rome.
The Viking age is 800 to 1000 AD.
Yeah, that's post-ancient Greece.
But that's right. Not... That's like Vikings, so, but that's not like when does actually the mythology of.
Let's see, when was the.
Well, see, well, I'm not talking about mythology. I'm just saying, if you went to Norway or wherever in 500 BC, would there be people there?
Probably not.
That's what I'm trying to figure out here. It's like. Even here, looking up Norsemen, they say that they're a group of Germanic people who inhabited Scandinavia and spoke what is now called the Old Norse language between 800 AD and 1300 AD, which is obviously much later.
Yeah, so I guess another question is, like, is Kratos, does he just not age?
I mean, he looks pretty old in the game.
Maybe he's immortal from killing all these gods or something.
Well, but he is a god.
That's how he stays immortal.
Stays godly.
He has maybe to kill other gods.
Well, maybe he only started aging after having a kid, because that really does it, if you think about it.
Let me see. Origin of Norse.
His kid sprang from his forehead and he aged 40 years.
No, I mean, you've probably noticed that, Jones. Like, our friends are same age with kids. They look way older than we do.
Yes, most of them have a lot of gray hair, I've noticed.
So I'm just saying, maybe Kratos doesn't age, but then having a kid made him age, although he already had a kid. Remember, in the original game, because he kills his family.
Yeah, yep.
He had a daughter.
Poor Kratos, man. He's had a rough go of it.
Yeah, yeah, but he's also murdered so many people.
Yeah, it's
so kind of hard. He kind of deserves it.
Yeah, kind of hard to give him a free pass, I guess. Let's see.
Well, anyway, I'm not exactly sure how that works, you know, like, unless, yeah, Kratos, like, takes a 1,000-year vacation.
I'm struggling, yeah, to find anything, like, pre-800 AD. I mean, these Norse gods have to be older than that, though, for Pete's sake.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, who lives there? You know, you're running around, and there's, like, all these, like, ancient temples and stuff, and it's like, who built this? And there's, like, well, I guess there's also dwarves, so maybe it doesn't, it, all bets are off.
Yep, here's it's where also the dwarves came into existence. I just hit that part of Norse mythology. They don't have any years on anything, though.
Really? They don't have the years on when a fake creature came into existence?
Exactly. I'm very disappointed by this.
Oh, no. I'm probably getting an email from Peter Dinklage. Oh, terrible.
Whoop, the first two humans. Nope, no years on that either. Weak.
Well, anyway, it's a pretty fun game. The menu system is really labyrinthian. I don't even quite understand it. Yeah, so I guess we'll see. Although I would say I enjoy the original games better, because they are just a lot more badass, and they had, like, epic scores, and this is trying to be, like, the Unforgiven of God of War, and I think I'd rather watch The Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
That makes sense.
Harsh. Oop. I found some stuff. I looked up, like, Scandinavian history or whatever.
Okay, close enough.
So we've got people, we got approximately 200 burial sites have been investigated in the region from this period of 3,000 years, which was 9,000 to 6,000 BP? What the hell? Before present. I've never heard of BP before.
It's kind of a stupid term, because it's like the present's always changing.
Yeah.
So, well, 5,000 years before present would certainly, that would predate Greece.
Well, it says the standard practice is to use January 1st, 1950 as the commencement date of the age scale. Oh, good. So now we have another date to use arbitrarily.
You know what I think we need to fix this?
The metric system.
Mega years.
Mega years, yes.
No. Ooh. So what we do is we just have seconds.
I knew there was a
right
place for them.
So we just have seconds. And then megaseconds is a year.
But a megasecond wouldn't be a year. It would be, well, no, wouldn't it be a lot less than a year?
Just change everything. Just change everything.
Well, hold on. I got to figure out how many megaseconds would be in a year. Oh, no. Here we go again.
Let's see. We have a Nordic Bronze Age that happened.
So in a kilosecond would be a month.
Nordic Bronze Age was characterized by a warm climate, which permitted a relatively dense population, but it ended with a climate change consisting of deteriorating weather and colder climate, which pushed
was
the Germanic tribes southwards into continental Europe.
Was that the last little ice age?
Maybe. Then we have a pre-Roman Iron Age, which apparently was like 100-ish BC.
You know what's weird to think about? Like, considering how old our planet is, not let alone the universe, the amount of time that we humans have done things is laughably small.
Oh, it's, yeah, it's basically nothing in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's kind of off topic.
But we do have evidence of peoples in that area, like, in the BC times here.
Okay, cool. So, all right, that's good enough, I guess.
Apparently, Santa Monica Studios did their homework.
I'm glad that the game featuring, you know, giant worms and killer gods is accurate.
Yes.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I definitely want to play through it. I'm sure they're going to, like, kill the kid or do something to make you sad. But, I mean, it's really, it's imagine, like, a grumpy old Kratos with a beard and then, like, a 1950s Golly G. Willikers kid with him.
Do you think at the very end of the game, Kratos is going to go to the kid and hand him his two blades and his beard and be like, you're the new Kratos now?
He's going to hand him his beard.
Hand him his beard.
And his what? Red
throw some
tattoo.
Pads on him, yeah.
Did you ever see RoboCop 3?
Yes. Unfortunately, I've seen that movie.
Wow, I have
and
not.
There's like that little girl, and she's like, it's ED-209! And she goes up and reprograms it.
Yep.
That's kind of what this is like, where he's the kid's like, wow, it's the world serpent! And Kratos is like, it is not that big. It's... maybe
he's like, I need to kill that now.
Like, you couldn't be impressed.
Yeah. Hmm. So, yeah, I guess I would assume by the time we do the next podcast, I will have beaten it, so I guess I will have a follow-up at that time.
Very good. I will probably not have beaten Breath of the Wild by then.
Okay. So yeah, thinking our last topic, MoviePass. MoviePass. Jones, why don't you explain it? Because it seems like something you probably considered getting.
Not really, but it's interesting. It's like this thing I didn't know even existed until probably like late last year, and then I had
like mega meters.
Yeah, and then I had some coworkers mention it to me, and. Yeah, it's like this thing where you pay like $10 a month or whatever, and then you can like could watch as many movies as you wanted at the theater, like
one per day.
But yeah, you could go and watch freaking whatever Black Panther every single day for the month. They've changed some of the rules lately. But it was weird. It was this thing where I had a couple people at work like mention it to me, and they're like, oh, do you have this? And I'm like, no, what the heck is it? And they told me, and I'm like, how is that even a thing? Like, how is that even like possible? Like, for $10, I can go and watch like, you know, $300 worth of movies in a month. Not that I necessarily would, but yeah, so it's like this thing. It's basically like Netflix for movie theaters, kind of.
But it's a MasterCard, so when you click on, you know, like, hey, I'm at the theater, because you have to go to the theater, you have to be there.
That's right, you couldn't pre-order.
It looks at your GPS, and they're like, okay, you're at the theater, and it knows what movies are at the theater, and then you select a movie, and then it preloads, you know, $11 or whatever onto the Visa card, allowing you to swipe it and buy a ticket. So they are paying full price for tickets.
Yeah, and you couldn't do, like, IMAX or 3D, I believe, were two of the things you couldn't do. And then now they're making people, I guess, scan the ticket stubs, and they've changed the rules to where now you can only see the same movie once.
I'm sure there were people who were scamming it any way they could, because people...
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure
like
the same people
could borrow your pass.
Yep. Oh, I'm sure that was happening, yeah.
It happens with Netflix passwords, so...
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, they changed that, and now they've changed it to where I think it's like 4 movies a month now for like new people. I mean, still, if you go and see movies frequently, I mean, it's still a good deal.
Well, even one movie a month, I mean, that's got any more. Like, it's $10 to see anything.
Yeah. So, I mean, basically, if you see one a month, it's worth getting, I guess, if you don't mind your data being mined, which nowadays your data gets mined fucking everywhere anyway, so who cares?
I mean, Google mines 10 times the data just by you booting up your phone than the MoviePass app does.
Exactly.
I mean, I think their goal, basically, the investors are buying you movie tickets, and they're just trying to buy customers. And I think because, you know, there's people don't maybe they don't teach enough economics in school, but all these people online who can't figure out how it works, it's like there's plenty of companies that run cash negative because they're in customer acquisition mode. And I think the idea was basically to buy enough influence, because I think they're already up to like 10 or 20% of all tickets sold.
Wow.
To buy enough influence that they could start negotiating a better deal from the movie theaters and then maybe eventually become profitable. Just like, think about it. Amazon uses its customers as a way to negotiate a lower rate from UPS. Like, if Amazon had to pay what you or I do via UPS to ship a box, they'd be out of business.
Yeah.
But they've gotten to a point where they can dictate their own rates.
Well, I think they could do, like, you know, interesting, like, the CEO even talked about this, like, they've been pretty open about the fact that they're just about acquiring data and stuff like that, and, you know, they're thinking about things like, oh, hey, you go to this movie frequently, and there's these places that you can eat near there, and trying to come up with, like, package deals, like, that's some of, like, the future stuff, where they might try to develop that with, you know, nearby restaurants and the movie theater, like making these packages and things that people could do.
Yeah, that could work.
You know, so I mean, there's like lots of stuff like that. And I mean, honestly, you know, like you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast about this being kind of like a change agent or something for the movie theaters. I mean,
yeah, disruption.
It feels similar to like what Napster, you know, was for music, and the music industry fought that, you know, and look what happened.
Yeah, Napster wasn't viable. Well, it was illegal, but it triggered the change that had to happen.
Yep, and like with this, it's like, you know, movie theaters, if you go to them outside of like the big new thing coming out on a weekend, it's like the theaters are mostly empty.
Exactly.
So it's like if you're sitting there as a theater owner, I'd be like embracing something like MoviePass, because it's like,
would you rather have $2 a seat or zero?
Yeah, and it's like, and you get people coming in with this thing, and you know they're going to see a movie they probably wouldn't have paid $10 for, but now they're like, oh, that's my second movie of the month. I get to go for free, but since I got it for free, I'm going to buy a tub of popcorn and a soda.
Although they did say that MoviePass does have its eyes on concession percentages as well.
I'm sure. I mean, that's where
that's probably
I'd be
what really
looking
spooks the theaters.
If that, I were them, that would, yeah.
Well, that's where all the profit is.
But it's like, if you look at that as a theater owner, it's like, you know, that's where the theaters make their money. And it's like, well, if their MoviePass is driving more people in, even if, let's say, MoviePass eventually says, we want, like, a 10% cut of that, or, you know, 20%, whatever it is, it's like, well, still, the movie theater's making money that they're not making when those people aren't even coming into the theater right now.
Think about what you just said about the, yeah, aside from opening weekends, you go to, like, I could go to Avengers on Tuesday night, and it'll probably be like, it would be like, well, not Tuesday night, I'm sorry.
Yeah, not the $5 night.
but you go to the Marcus Theater on $5 night, and it's fucking packed.
Yeah. I mean, that tells you everything you need to know right there.
Right. But, I could go to Avengers, like, shit, I could go to it tomorrow night, and the theater probably wouldn't even be half full on a Monday night.
Yeah, probably.
Now, like, think about the airline industry. Like, what was that movie that I was complaining about? Elizabethtown?
Oh, yeah, where there's, like, two people on the plane or whatever.
In reality, that flight would have been canceled. They would not have even bothered to launch the plane because they're losing money. So, like, the fact that there's so many unsold seats means that there's more theater capacity than we actually need.
Yep.
And I think that's kind of a ticking time bomb for the industry, and that something needs to change. Like when I worked at the theater long ago, and there was that ancient guy, he'd tell me stories about the 1940s, and he's like, every show, every night, every day was sold out because, you know, they didn't have television or all these other things back then. People just constantly went to the movies, like, no matter what was there. And I'm like, well, how did you know how successful something was? He's like, basically it was like how long it ran. And now, I mean, they're just empty.
Yeah,
not that many people go.
Yeah, it's like you get that first weekend or two out of the way, and it's like, yeah, that's it. You know, I mean, even just go back to like the 80s, you know, in the 80s, you'd have something like Back to the Future that would be in theaters for like a year. You know, that just does not happen anymore. I mean, at the best, you get something like Wonder Woman last year, where that thing, you know, it stuck around for
three, 4 months.
But I mean, that was like amazing nowadays for a movie to stick, you know, that long.
Or like Black Panther is still, yeah. I think it's like, what, it was like number 5 this weekend after like, what, 2.5 months or 2 months?
Yep. Yeah, like that's another one that's had legs. Yeah, so.
That used to be normal. I mean,
yeah.
you compare how long Black Panther's been in the theater to your average 80s movie, it's a joke. Mm-hmm. But now we consider that to be amazing. So what happened was they built up the theater so much, there's so many screens, they can satiate all demand like almost immediately.
Yes.
Which is in the studio's favor because then they get a higher percentage. But then what happens is you have all this unused, basically, potential sitting there vacant. Yeah, yep. Yeah.
Well, that was the thing, too. Like, when we were kids, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, like, these mega theaters didn't exist. It was like, you know, our theater in Richland Center had one screen until the 90s, and then they split it into two screens. And then Reedsburg had, like, 6 or 7 screens when they built that theater, like in the 90s, and that was like huge, you know. And then eventually, like down in Madison, you had things like Point Cinema and stuff that, you know, had like 15 screens or whatever. But it was like, yeah, when we were kids, you know, you had like a theater in town that had like a screen and showed a movie for the week, you know.
Yeah, so they've built up past the demand. It's just like, you know, you go to, maybe not in Madison, but like, you know, this mall where like the parking lot, you know, parking lot's like a quarter full at best. It's like,
yeah.
you can see like the lack of capacity, or I'm sorry, the lack of customers versus capacity.
Yes.
And yeah. I think the weak thing with MoviePass, like I'm sure MoviePass will, they'll probably get bought by AMC or like some mega chain. Mm-hmm. I mean, the vulnerability they have is that there's no reason a mega chain couldn't do the same program. And
yeah. Yes. Yeah. And some do things kind of like it. Like, I guess in England, stuff like this kind of exists already with some of the big chains there. So, I mean, because, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, how does the, you know, movie industry combat it? It's like, well, they're just going to make their own thing, essentially, you know, is what will end up happening if they adapt.
I wonder if they could, like, scale the ticket price. Like, okay, so hear me out. Like, let's say there's a movie like A Quiet Place, right? And it's like, if you want to go see it on a Wednesday night, you know, let's say 10 people are going to go see it, because like, honestly, that's probably how many people would see that on a Wednesday night, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got like, you know, however many empty seats. So what if it's like, oh, you know, this many people saw it, and the closer it gets to showtime, maybe the price drops, you know, to try to get people to come in.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Kind of like the inverse of Uber surge pricing.
Kind of like how in some places, you know, like hotels are cheaper during the week than they are on weekends and things like that, too. You know, like, yeah, similar concept, but...
Maybe something like that might be cool. I mean, because, yeah, as we mentioned, $5 Tuesday is a bonanza.
Yeah, I remember that was a number of years ago now. I think me and you, and I can't remember if there was somebody else along, but I think we saw one of the X-Men movies. And we went to, like, Eastgate, I think it was.
Yeah!
It was on a Tuesday night, and we had, like, no... We didn't even think about the $5 night thing, and I remember we pulled in, and we're like, what in the fuck is going on? Because the place was just packed.
Yep.
Like, there's parking lot area there that normally there's never a car parked in, but it was just, like, jam-packed, and then we're like, oh, shit, it's Tuesday. It's, like, $5 night.
was that Days of Future Past?
That must have been. Yeah, I bet it was that one.
Yeah, because remember, they closed that theater in 2015.
Yep, because now they got the super theater thing
but
over
then
there.
Even if you look at the super theater, I mean, oh, it's got reclining seats, and like, think about it. They made the seats bigger because there's less people going.
Yep.
Look at an airplane, they make the seats smaller because they're trying to get every cent out of every flight.
Yep. Yeah, the best thing about that new theater is that they've got those couple of screens where they have, like, the dining stuff in them, so you can have them bring you food. That's pretty cool.
Well, Parker's, you know, he gets to do that all the time at Alamo Draft House.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not here, though. But
Well, I think all theaters are going that way because I think along with the price increases, it's kind of instead of, like, just becoming a cheap thing to do, it's pretty much, like, it has to be, like, a date night out.
Yeah, it's like they're putting like bars in them and stuff like that. Like they're trying to make them like, yeah, that sort of thing, or even just like a place where people might go, even if they're not necessarily going to watch a movie. Like maybe they'll just go there and hang out. Like at Point Cinema on the west side, they've got like a pretty nice like bar area in there, and then there's like a screen on the wall, and they're always showing like some, you know, older movie in there. But it's like you could just go in there and buy a drink, get a little food, watch some movie. Like they had Young Frankenstein playing one time when I was there waiting for people to show up for the movie we were seeing. But
I think the last time I was there is when we all went to see Force Awakens because they were remodeling it, I think, at that time.
Okay, that might have been when they were putting that in.
But did they put in all the fancy seats and all that jazz?
Yes. Yeah, every one of the big theaters in town has all the reclining seats and all that shit.
What about the IMAX in Fitchburg?
That one is still the old seats. They haven't changed that, but like every other screen at the big theaters is the recliners. It's just, yeah, the IMAX one they haven't touched.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't bothered with MoviePass. Like, a bunch of people at work have done it and rave about it or whatever, and I'm like, yeah, it's cool, but it's like, I don't go to movies that much, and even if I had that thing, I don't know if it would compel me to go.
I never watch Netflix. I don't even know why I'm still subscribed.
I've been watching that lately. I decided to watch the most recent season of that Sherlock show. I never watched that, so.
Which one? The one with Benedict Cumberbatch or yes. Michelle? Lucy Lawless or whatever, yeah.
Oh, that's, what's that one called?
Elementary,
yeah. I haven't watched that, but,
So, Parker, do you think movie theaters are doomed because of the technology? Our cell phones and our home televisions are advancing faster than the theaters. Thoughts?
No, I just think they'll evolve into be more of a place you go to, you know, eat and drink and enjoy a movie. Kind of like how Draft House and what Studio Movie Grill and a lot of other movie theaters are starting to, you know, pitch towards. I do like the idea of like the scaling rate. It's a really good idea.
Yeah, that'd be good. Because yeah, it's like why not make it cheaper on weeknights? Or yeah, like if the theater's like 3/4 empty, why not have it drop a couple of bucks in price like the hour before the movie starts or something, you know, like to get more asses in the seats.
It's also kind of like if you're like, let's say you're a self-employed person or something, and you would want to find the equilibrium of charging the highest price you can but always being busy, right? Yes.
That's called the parking lot problem.
Parking lot problem?
Yeah, the parking lot problem is like, so if you're if you run a parking lot and you're charging for people to park there, your ideal situation is charging just enough so you have one spot open all the time.
like a hotel, like they, you know, they want to have obviously as many people staying there per night.
Yes, but it's called the parking lot problem. One thing about these theaters moving towards, like, with food and stuff is you get rid of a lot of seats doing that.
Yep.
Yeah, you lose, like, half your seats because every other row is a, you know, table.
Right, but if less people are going to the movies anyway, that's not a problem.
Oh, that's what I was bringing up is it's going to slowly fix the capacity problem.
Yeah, so, Joe. Oh,
you go ahead. Yeah,
I was just gonna say, like, what would get? Because you and I both we're big movie fans, but I'm sure we both see far fewer movies than we did, like 5 or 10 years ago. What would get you back into the theater?
Oh God, I don't know. I definitely like the being able to have food things. There's a lot of times I'll be sitting around, and it's like right around maybe lunchtime or whatever, and I'm kind of like, oh, I wouldn't mind seeing a movie, but it's like, ah, fuck, I'm hungry, you know, too. And so I end up, like, not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Or otherwise, I might have gone if I could, you know, get, like, a sandwich or something while I'm seeing the movie or whatever. Same thing, like, at dinner time. Otherwise, you have to kind of like target these times of the day, like either pre-lunch, which I've done before, or like mid-afternoon or later at night. And I'm just not a later at night person anymore when it comes to like going out and doing shit. So I pretty much got like those two windows of time on 2 days of the week to see a movie. Because I don't usually do shit on weeknights either. It's just, I just like to go home and chill. So yeah, like going home and burning my, or going out and burning my whole evening watching a movie is, you know, but if I could eat there, you know, I might be more apt to do it on a weeknight. Like if the price was a bit cheaper and I could get food and not just like the concession shit.
Yeah, one thing that a theater, I think, because I already have the draft house, so that's awesome. But the one thing they could improve on, because the problem is you have to go to the bathroom sometimes, especially since this whole thing with movies being like 2+ hours.
Are you going to say an intermission?
Yeah.
Well, not an intermission, but what if you went to the bathrooms and above the urinal was a screen and you can just punch a button that's like what theater you're in, and it just shows what you're like, so you don't miss it at least when you're peeing.
What are women going to do?
They have it on the back of the stall.
But then I gotta like punch the button that the last guy who touched his dick punched the button with. So
you know what they could, you know what they could do? They could use they could use computer vision to see, hey, that person bought a ticket. They walked into that auditorium. Now they're walking to the bathroom. Now we see them in the bathroom. They're going into this stall, and then they put the movie on.
They could, or they could have an intermission. So.
Or maybe you could stream to your phone. That's actually probably even easier. Like you buy the ticket online,
and then you hook up to the local network there.
Yeah, because when I watch a movie, I mean, as you guys, well, yeah, I love to drink beer, right? I would buy more beer at a movie theater if I was able to drink it and urinate and not miss the movie.
Yeah,
because I mean, since I know movies intimately, I can always smell when a boring scene is coming. You know, so. or like Age of Ultron. You know, as soon as they got to that farmhouse, I'm like, well, they're going to be here for 15 minutes.
Yep.
And then I went to the bathroom. But yeah, or they could have an intermission. Because here's another thing. People who smoke, it's still like 20% of Americans. Like if you're a smoker and there's like some goddamn 2-hour, 40-minute movie, they're just not going to go.
Yeah.
But if they could – well, Broadway musicals, they all have intermissions. I mean, and they're all like, you know, what, 2.5-3 hours long, and so there's an intermission.
The thing is, too, like nowadays, you know, like now you've got assigned seating in every fucking theater,
exactly.
Too.
Exactly.
So it's like it solves that problem with the intermission, because it's like you just go out, you come back in, you sit in the seat you had before.
And
you
can sell more concessions and stuff.
Exactly. Yep. Like I have no idea why they don't do it, other than the studios probably push to have as many showings in a day as possible.
But again, if so many of these showings, aside from the weekends, are mostly empty, who cares?
And it's like,
they could stagger the intermissions too, so they don't, you know, they don't bump up against each other, you know?
Yeah, they don't rush the concession stand at the same time.
Yeah, so it's like you get the intermission from one overly long movie, and then it's the other overly long movie. Because movies are too goddamn long, and if every movie's gonna be as long as Dancing with Wolves, and if you're a theater trying to make all your profit from beer and food, give us more opportunities to buy that.
Well, it's like
opportunities to relieve ourselves.
Well, it's not called Star anymore. It's whatever the hell the Fitchburg Theater is. But they have that second concession area down. I think they finally got rid of it now when they did some remodeling in the last couple of years. But like when that theater got, I think it was when they added the IMAX onto it, they put like a second concession area down there.
That never seemed to get used?
I can't recall that ever being open. Like, ever. And I'm like, gee, if they had intermissions and things, people would pop out of the IMAX theater and shoot right over there and probably buy some shit, but...
Well, and especially if they're making it into more of a date night thing. It's like, hey, everyone gets a break. You can chat about the movie. It would become somewhat social.
Yeah.
They could make a smoker's patio. Just think about it. I mean, like, you know, even though America has one of the lowest rates of smoking of any, like, industrialized country, There's still a lot of people. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Build a smoker's patio, you know.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of benefit to it. Like what you just said, I like that, you know, we've all had that a few times where you're sitting at the theater and you just happen to strike up a conversation with people. It's usually like either before or immediately after. I mean, it doesn't happen a ton, right. But if you were in a situation like that where maybe you just saw some like cool cliffhanger moment and it goes in intermission, you might, yeah, strike up a conversation with people around you and speculate on what's coming next and whatever, you know, and it could be kind of fun. And so, yeah, I don't know, there's really like no reason not to have them other than that it does stretch it a little longer. But you know what?
It's only like 15 minutes.
Get rid of some goddamn trailers.
Yeah, and you take out the 20 minutes of trailers and make that a 20-minute intermission.
Yep, done.
Oh God, you know I would totally go to more movies because
I would.
The thing I hate the most is the 20 minutes of trailers. In a world where everyone has a smartphone, everyone has a fucking smartphone. Don't say they don't. Everyone has a smartphone. No one needs to see trailers. Who are those for? 90-year-olds? It's completely irrelevant.
Well, I think we've talked about it on here before, but it's like it's very rare that when I get to the end of whatever 2.5-3 hour slog I just sat through it, that I even remember the trailers that came before it anyway.
That's the thing is, I write down the trailers. I'm like, oh, I need to go watch that, and I'll write it down on a slip of paper just so I remember. Although, for 3 hours later.
There's still times where you'll be in a theater and a trailer will come on for like Star Wars and something you'd think everyone has seen already, and people are like, ooh, mumble, 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 ooh, ooh.
It's like,
you guys have not seen this?
Don't know this is coming? Like,
but here's the thing, like, the competition. Like, I watch, the majority of movies I watch, I just wait for them to come on video, and I stream them from Amazon for like $6.
Yep.
It's cheaper, I can go to the bathroom, and I push play, and the movie starts.
And you can hit pause when you need to. And
Why is the more expensive experience being subsidized by ads while the cheaper experience in my home is ad-free? That's backwards.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very strange, but yeah, that would get me back in the theater. Like, add an intermission, cut out 90% of the goddamn trailers, and have food options, basically.
I think Alamo Drafthouse, which I don't think you've been to, Jones.
No, because we don't have any around here.
They have a reasonable amount of trailers. Would you agree with that, Parker?
Yeah. The biggest thing I like about Alamo Drafthouse is before like the normal trailers start, so it's like before if you went to an 8 o'clock movie.
The pre-show stuff.
It's got really cool pre-show stuff that they put together that's like associated with that movie. Like,
yes.
Like when I went to go watch Isle of Dog, they had a 15-minute segment of what makes a Wes Anderson film a Wes Anderson film.
Versus up here where the pre-show is all ads.
Like a car dealership ad or whatever. Yeah, it's like... Yeah.
Now, they don't have that at the Draft House. It's like they make their own content for it.
Yeah, like when... when we went to see, what was it, Annihilation, they had like a little, a mini, they had a thing talking about like, you know, kick-ass action women.
Yep.
Which that movie didn't contain any of, but
no,
whatever.
But yeah.
When we saw Jurassic World, they're like showing Land of the Lost.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
I was actually really excited when they did that. I was really hoping Annihilation would have some action in it. And that was total letdown because
it gets you excited and interested in the movie and what's coming up. It's about the movie. It's like it's a pre-show, not a bunch of car lot ads.
Because like when we were kids, like when we went to the theater, there'd maybe be what, two or three trailers, maybe.
Now it's like seven every
at
time.
At least, yeah. I still remember, like, one of my greatest movie-going adventures was when I saw Phantom Menace opening day at Point Cinema. Went in, lights went down, Lucasfilm logo came up, and bam, fanfare kicked in. There were no trailers on the front of it. Somebody must have fucked up, but it was amazing. It was, like, no 20 minutes of BS in front of it.
When we went to see Lord of the Rings and people were booing the stupid trailers?
Yeah.
That's still one of like the greatest nights of movie going ever.
Was that back when they had that stupid like Chrysler minivan ad?
Yes, with the fairies and the magical creatures.
Yeah. Yeah, people were like heckling it, and
oh, and then they had the Spider-Man trailer with Kristen Dunst in the rain, and everyone cheered.
Yes, yep.
I still
remember like what was it? It was some midnight showing. Maybe it was one of those, or it was Attack of the Clones or something. I think it was Attack of the Clones. They had a trailer for like the Matrix sequel on the front of it, and people were just like going batshit. And then there was like I think the Die Another Day trailer might have been on there too, and people were like going all gaga for that because it was Bond and everything. But just that's the thing. Like now you don't have midnight showings anymore either. You know, like all this horse shit nowadays. You know, you have it where the movies come out at like 7 o'clock on the Thursday night, but then somehow those grosses get included in the Friday and weekend gross, which makes zero sense to me. But it's like that eliminated like that whole like awesome experience of going to like the midnight showing of like something cool. Like that just doesn't exist anymore. Another frustrating thing.
Well, I'd be more interested in midnight showings if movies weren't so goddamn long. Like, didn't we all went to the midnight of Hobbit, remember? And then by the end of it, I just wanted to shoot myself.
Oh god, yeah, I so wish I would have just slept that night too.
Yeah, that was a mistake. I went to the midnight showing down here in Houston for that.
Thing too is, you know, the midnight showings, like Hobbit would have fit, I would say, but it, you know, they used to be, they only came out for like something reasonably significant.
Yeah, and like Star Wars.
Yeah, Star Wars, like Lord of the Rings, but then they started like doing it for like X-Men. I remember like X-Men was one of the first ones where I was kind of, it wasn't the first, but it was like maybe the third one or something, I don't know. But when I heard they were doing a midnight showing for that, I was like, really? Like for X-Men? Okay.
Same with the first X-Men?
No, it wasn't the first. I think it might have been the third one.
But now every movie has Thursday night previews for some reason.
Yeah, and apparently even though it's Thursday night, like it counts as part of the Friday gross, which makes no sense. I just, not that box office really matters, but it's just bizarre to me that like somehow you can tack an extra 6 hours onto Friday now.
Well, it's like a Black Friday is like Black Week now. I mean,
yeah, true.
Cyber Monday,
yeah.
But no, I agree. If I would love an intermission because then I could buy a beer and I go in, then I could buy a beer and drink it, and then I could go to the bathroom. It would be great.
I'd buy way more beer.
See, there you go, theaters. People will buy more beer. They'll buy more shitty concessions, which is where you make your money.
We talked about this years ago, Jones, but because you know you're not a drinker, and I was trying to explain, someone who does drink will buy more beers in the same amount of time versus a person who will only buy one soda in 2 hours.
Oh yeah, for
like
sure.
Someone who drinks will drink probably 2 to 3 beers. They could drink 2 to 3 beers in 2 hours easily and still be okay to drive home. Versus one soda, so. You can make more. Like restaurants make all their money off booze.
Mm-hmm.
So if you make it easier for people to buy booze by giving them time to piss without missing the movie and giving them, bring back intermissions.
Yep.
Again, we're talking about like how there's less capacity, a lot of empty seats, except for like you know on Avengers weekend. So, and then maybe you don't make it into Avengers. Like maybe there's like one less showing.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, again, take off the 20 minutes of trailers and then change it into an intermission, and you could have the same number of showings.
And you know what? They could show their fucking trailers during the intermission if they really wanted to.
Like, yes!
So if people sat in the theater, they can watch them. Other people can go get a drink, piss, whatever. Problem solved.
Like, yeah, it would be like double feature night at the drive-thru.
Yes. Yeah, there you go.
All right, well, there you go, theaters. If you want to stay in business.
All their problems.
We've always fixed just theaters.
Yes. We fixed theaters. All right, well, any closing thoughts on that? In the speaking of not making things too long.
I'm trying to think of like the next movie I want to see. I think it's like the Mission.
We're going to go see Han Solo, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm going to go see it, but I mean want to see.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Tom Mission, I think, which is like late July.
Tom Mission 10.
I'm probably going to go see Super Troopers.
Oh, yeah.
It's already out.
Yeah.
It's out.
It is out. It
probably won't be in theaters very long, so you better go see it.
Yeah.
It's going to get crowded out by Deadpool and Han Solo and all the other stuff coming out.
I read something about the big stunt in the new Mission Impossible. Like, apparently Tom did, like, a Halo jump in it, and they filmed it. But he didn't just do it once. He did it, like, 106 times.
Wow, that sounds expensive.
Well, he's Tom. But I was just like, my God, it's freaking nuts. And he spent, like, a year training or something for it. And
so, I am a little concerned about this one because it's the first Mission Impossible that hasn't changed director.
But I don't know, McQuarrie did a hell of a job with the last one.
Yeah, I don't think he did a Brad Bird hell of a job.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I thought Ghost Protocol is better than Rogue Nation.
I mean, Ghost Protocol is really good. I liked Rogue Nation a lot, like with Rebecca Ferguson's character was great. And
oh, they're bringing
Tom
her back, too.
Shared the screen with her, yep. And Superman's in it. Gonna be awesome. Mustache Gate.
Oh, the mustache!
Yep. We'll finally get to see it in action.
That was so weird, like, how bad his mouth looked in the first scene of Avengers.
Justice League, you mean?
Yeah. Oh no, the Marvel fanboys are going to come after me for saying that.
I don't know, it's weird. I must just be oblivious to things like that. Like, I just did not really notice, like, I mean, people were making such a big deal out of that online. Maybe that's why I didn't notice it.
The opening scene of Justice League where the kids are recording him on a cell phone, it's pretty noticeable. And most of his scenes have it, so which, you know, makes it seem like they reshot most of Superman's stuff.
Yeah, that's what they were saying, is you could tell pretty easy, like, what stuff of his got reshot, which was most of it, because he had, you know, they had to do those effects. And yeah, I mean, you can notice it, but I didn't think it was like, it didn't like take me out of the scene or anything.
I would say, aside from the opening scene, like the very first shot of the movie is like that, you know, cell phone.
It's like a close up on him and all that, yeah.
But
but
it looks really bad. It looks like he's gotten in an accident, his jaw is dislocated. He looks like he has the jawline of Hugo Weaving. It looks like Hugo Weaving's mouth.
Yeah, a little bit.
It did. But then later on, if you think about it, you can kind of notice, but it looks better in the rest of the movie, but that opening scene is the worst. You'd think they would try to make that one look the best.
Try to hit that one good, yeah.
Because later on, like when he's like embracing Lois Lane,
yeah,
and like you see, like, you know, they're at the same focal depth, and you know her face looks like a face, whereas his face looks a little Vaseline-y and a little like, you know, not real, you know, imperfect, or not imperfect,
I
should
say.
Yeah,
not natural, yeah.
Yeah, so, but I think it was good enough that you wouldn't know unless you knew.
Yeah, you knew the background of it. Yeah, exactly. And that's all the stuff I saw online, and I'm like, well, you guys probably saw it because you were looking for it in the first place, because you were aware of all this shit going on.
Right.
Most people don't know any of that shit's going on, so they go and watch the movie.
Right, but then if you are aware of it, you can't not notice it.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, and none of us have seen Infinity War, right? So apparently we're like the only three geeks on Earth that haven't.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I have no interest in seeing that movie, so.
Yeah, I don't really have much either. I briefly thought about it over the weekend because I didn't really have much going on. But then I was like, oh, I haven't seen Black Panther yet, so I suppose technically I should see that first. And then I'm like, well, yeah, I'm not going to do that. So
I was thinking about it, like, I think at like maybe 1 or 2 o'clock today, I was like, I wonder if I could go see that before the podcast. And I was like, I'm not sure if I have enough time.
That was one of my motivating factors, too, is I'm like, oh, we could talk about it on the podcast. But then I was like, well, I'll be the only one that's seen it, so not worth it. No.
But I mean, if a movie is going to, like, you know, if a movie has to be 2.5 hours long, and then if that ends up being like a, you know, 3 or 3.5 hour experience for whatever reason, then if it's going to take up that much of your time, why not be more respectful of the time and make it like a night out, you know, with a intermission and more drinks and.
Yep. I remember my mom, she'd tell me about, like, when she went and saw Ben-Hur when she was a kid and stuff, you know, and it was like, back in those days, you know, it was completely different. Like, people got dressed up and, you know, went out for the night and, you know, went to the theater and saw the movie. And but she's like, yeah, they had ushers that, you know, took you to your seat and the place was packed and, you know, you had the intermission and all that stuff. You know, it was just a completely different experience from what we have today.
Well, the one thing we should probably bring up is a movie like Ben-Hur is a lot longer than a Marvel movie.
True. Yeah.
It's more like a 5-act structure than a 3-act structure.
Yeah, because Ben-Hur is what, 3.5?
Probably.
Because Lawrence of Arabia is longer, and that's like 340-something.
No. Apparently, Dancing with Wolves had an intermission. I don't remember that. I wonder if it depended on the theater.
I did not see that in the theater.
I did, and I don't remember an intermission.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen... The only thing I've seen with an intermission in the theater was when I saw 2001, when they re-released it briefly in 2001. That's because that was, you know, from the 60s. But any current movie, I can't recall ever having an intermission when I saw them in the theater.
Yeah, apparently Heaven's Gate had one, but I guess, well...
Well, that was super long, too.
Nobody saw that in the theater. yeah. Okay.
Or Michael Cimino.
I think he's dead now, too.
He is.
Have you seen Heaven's Gate?
I have not.
I have not seen
it's
that
a,
movie.
I've heard it's not bad.
It's I would call it an interesting failure.
Okay.
Kind of like Cloud Atlas.
Yes. Yep.
It's very beautifully shot. That's because the director would make the crew sit around waiting for the right clouds to float by.
Jeez. That's called having an Oscar go to your head, is what that movie is.
Yeah, pretty much. All right. Well, let us know what you thought about our topics in the comments below. Do you think Jones should buy some more Switch games? Should he taste all of them? Do you wish there were intermissions in movies? We'd like to hear what you think. So goodbye.
Adios.
Later, everyone.